Welcome to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. This program will take you behind the scenes and deepen your understanding about the patterns and perspectives of leadership today. Now, here's your host, John Schmidt.
Well, hello. Welcome, everyone, again to this week's edition of Zoomed Leadership. I am your host, John Schmidt. And again today, as I do almost every week, I'll be taking you out to the big picture, into the up close and personal, and toward a world of desirable futures, those which I like to say are rich with the essence of constant renewal. Well, I must say, I'm in here in our home studios in Sarasota, Florida. It is another radiant winter day here. Beaches on the coast, was out there earlier, are bustling with people and energy. It is clear and shimmering and cloudless in terms of the skies. Well, actually, as I look out, there are a few cumulus cotton puffs out there. And it's clear in the calmness of the water, and I got to say, absent of any kind of a roiling churn or perhaps even a windswept froth that we can almost get here, but not so in Libya. The skies there are mostly cloudy from what the weather report shows, and in contrast to our relaxed state of affairs here, there the streets are red with blood through depraved violence enacted by mercenaries and others, violent deaths and killings of protesters, estimated over 1,000 by the UN over the weekend, all initiated and orchestrated by a self-absorbed, narcissistic, and dangerous tyrant to humanity, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Last week, we talked about being free. We talked about the journeys of freedom and about the path of waking up and seeing through one's own distortions and limitations until, as leaders, we become the living hand of life, the expression of freedom, the expression of love, peace, harmony, all of that together in and of itself. This week, as we begin, I want us all to take pause, and I want to recognize what asleep and unaware can look like. What a disassociated soul, so obsessed with oneself and power, what it can look like as he, in this case, wreaks havoc in community, the reflection of an outrageous commanding ego self and a superego henchman inflicting violence and hatred on the world. I really say, let's not forget this image of Gaddafi, the one on our screens, umbrella in hand, calling for joy and dancing in the streets while simultaneously slaughtering his own Libyan people to stay in power. And let us not forget the arrogance of his son, Saif, and suggesting that there have been a couple of small skirmishes going on so far, denying the killing of the Libyans. And as he told CNN yesterday, he was confident that the regime would survive the unrest and ultimately reunite Libya. Reunite a country after atrocities sanctioned. Reunite after pain created, reunite after humanity defiled. Please, that's just not a reasonable picture of reality. It's power over violence, maybe, but reunite, I don't think so. The events and actions, I got to say, the behaviors of Gaddafi that we see are all, even in their ultimately bitter and distasteful way, one expression of life and livingness, one expression of a small view at that toward living on the planet. And I got to say, as I was in contemplation, I've been in conversation with a number of others around over the weekend about this, and one question seems to be coming up, which I think is an important one, because it's this: if there is a loving God, as some would say, how can this kind of thing happen? And I think the answer, certainly my answer and many answers of probably wisdom teachers over the years, might be just this: when the true nature of who we are, when the presence, the essence of life itself, recognizes itself as this presence, as this immense beingness, then that individuated expression of life just doesn't do these horrific things. Said another way, when God recognizes itself as God, then these behaviors don't happen. So I think this was somewhat of a subtle backdrop, this kind of thinking about the beingness. It was about our exploration last week. It was about waking up to freedom. It was about waking up to the reality of who we are, waking up to what our true identity is, and in waking up to it, and in working through the distortions, and through the development of expanding capacities, we truly become this living hand of life that I referred to, the full and alive dynamic presence that is bringing forth all that there is. Gaddafi, to me, is an individuated expression of life, as you and I are, but in his case, in Gaddafi, we see a self plagued by immense limitation, plagued by a virtual full obscuration of reality, plagued by little, if any, real true light of truth and vibrancy coming through his soul. So today, while acknowledging the recent events of this Arab Spring, this freedom arising, while acknowledging the condemnation of Gaddafi that is coming through on the world stage, I'd like to continue our look at freedom. I'd like to further our consideration of a wider and a deeper view. I'd like to introduce an additional step in our direction of wholeness in leadership, and I'd like to consider what I might call the totality of leadership. That is our show title today. The totality of leadership is our focus, and our attentions today are about the totality of view that we might take, about the totality of being that pervades the three journeys I described last week, and the totality of practice that I began referring to in the Thich Nhat Hanh quote I opened with last week. Peace is all around us. It is not a matter of faith. It is a matter of practice. And that practice, as we talked about, is the practice of being in the now, just where we are. So today, I think I'm going to open today with a quick quote, because I think I was struck with it over the weekend in thinking about Gaddafi, and it comes from Martin Luther King. I think it's relevant to war. I think it's relevant to racism. I think it's relevant to those asleep. And I put it this way in King's words: I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism or war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the last word. And I say, hear, hear, unarmed truth, unconditional love. Let's keep those words in mind as we proceed today. We may end up kind of in that realm before we get to the end of the show. But again, let's not get ahead of ourselves this week, nor as we did last week. Let me summarize first the flow of our show today, because I'd like to address our look at the totality of leadership. I'd like to do it in two parts today. In part one, I would like to put forward a rational case for why a larger view of reality is needed and why it's emerging. I'd like to begin, especially for those of you that are wondering, perhaps, am I off in the ozone here beyond the realities of life? I'd like to start first with some practicalities about challenges in the world and what, through some of the most recent research we can see, we are learning about leadership. Its focus, its expanding orientation, underpinning emphasis on growth and development, and I think a linkage to freedom that we were talking about last time. And I want to be very tangible, I want to be very practical, and I want to review a ground bed of data that I think shows the need for a more inclusive, more whole, more total view of what is going on in the world and how we might live our leadership within it. So in part one, I want to showcase some of the research. I'm going to bring on some of the Avastone-sponsored stuff we've been doing in corporate sustainability. I think the challenge is there, especially on a thriving planet or a planet that seeks to thrive amidst some of what we're pushing against it. I think it's a reflection of the larger arena of leadership and the considerations. So even if you're not interested in corporate sustainability, I think the findings are larger and applicable. And I also want to really talk about that in context of the Year of Extraordinary Change, because I think it's all related. And then second, a second piece of research is about, and some of that I've been sponsoring as a co-founder of the Global Transforming Ensemble, that we are a consortium of transformation agents that are working on a full and rich form of leadership in the world, presence-centered leadership, certainly. And this research, I think, demonstrates some of the movement also toward a more complete view of reality and leadership. I think in particular it brings forward the notion of vibrant communities, those that are realizing a true harmonic vibrancy and a positive intersection, as I've said before, about I, the we, you and I together, the all of us, and how it really relates to leadership. So those are the two pieces. And I hope to bring together through this research, maybe even to highlight with some of it some proof that might get your attention that a more full view is needed. And a more full view actually is taking place in the world. There are harmonic communities. There is vibrancy at hand. We're beginning to find even more of them. So that's part one. In part two, I want to reach beyond this research, and I want to point even more to a view of totality, a view that that includes even Gaddafi, but an underpinning of it about a totality of being. And as I suggested last week, and a signal toward a totality of practice, a practice in which the self, the pushing by the self, actually the movement to try to actually engage in practice, and grace, the pull of our true nature, actually bestows instantaneous realizations without having to do anything at all. And that's really what I try to do. I want to bring that together. That's the flavor of the show today. That's what's simmering in me, and I hope it might be cause for reflection within you. So let me get started, at least start pointing to it. We've only got a couple of minutes in this first segment, but let me start by highlighting the larger context, the Leadership and Corporate Sustainability Challenge, a Mindsets in Action Exploration. The report we did is available on our website at avastoneconsulting.com. But the intent was to see what is really going on in corporate sustainability and how is leadership involved. Is leadership important? Or are other drivers behind progress and movement? And what was the focus? Well, the focus was 10 global companies. We included global icons around the world in sustainability, names well known, top of mind regarding progress. Won't go into those. We held a lot of confidence in it. But they range from $1 billion in revenue to over $25 billion in revenue. Big companies reflecting many industries. Manufacturing, mining, transportation, pharma, high tech, a full gamut in our orientation, what's working and why, what's contributing to progress, and where are the challenges, what's keeping people up tonight, at night, and that's what we'll talk about in the next segment. Come back in a minute. Let me point you to not only the study, but some of the findings. I think they're important about this larger view. Take a break. Come back in a few minutes here, folks. Zoomed here on this Monday. Come right back. Thanks.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network. The Zoomed Leadership Conversation today, as well as shows both past and upcoming, are intended to illuminate perspectives on the great transition in motion, the extraordinary era of change that is affecting all of our personal lives, our organizations, our communities, and our governing institutions. Big shifts are happening, and more are coming. Some can be foreseen, but many are outside current paradigms of thought. All, however, ultimately will be shaped by new and expanding forms of leadership, capable of holding the widest possible views and the deepest forms of interconnection. Join Zoomed host John Schmidt weekly as he rides the rising wave of intelligence, moving us all toward a world of immense potential, dynamism, and economic, social, and environmental renewal. Zoomed is sponsored in part by Avastone Consulting, a source point for development of leadership and organizational resilience and sustainability for the last 25 years. Find John and his colleagues at Avastone via avastoneconsulting.com.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoom Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on Zoomed, we are here today talking about the totality of leadership in two parts. One is about recent research in leadership. I hope to get your attention there and to paint toward a rational view of why big picture views, why deeper realization is actually needed. How does that play out in terms of the performance and impact we're looking for in the world? Part two is actually the dynamic element. For me, it's about the totality itself, being practice, the view, all of that together. But let me get started, because I think we've got a lot of ground to cover today, but let me just summarize and point back to some of the study that I think is relevant, because I really tried to get, and we tried to reflect a candid assessment of some of the real-world perspectives. We worked with some senior executives across each of these companies, and our hope was for the study to be a contributor to other large realms of integrated action needed in the world, and I think it does that. I think it points us in that direction. But first, what did we want to do? We wanted to track where all were progressing in sustainability. In other words, what was their progress regarding economic, social, and environmental bottom lines? That's an intersection of an awful lot of world emphasis, clearly part of our era of extraordinary change. As the Brundtland Commission suggested, how were we progressing and meeting our needs today so as not to constrain future generations in doing the same? That's a general orientation to sustainability. So what do we do here? Well, we used a perspective of five gears, much like gearing up in our cars, to actually consider the stage and the focus, the progress being taken and undertaken actually across these companies. And the five gears, we'll call them 1.0 to 5.0. They reflect the low gearing, like in your car, to a high gearing as you get up to gears 4 and 5. And without going into all the details, I think it's useful to get this context, because this context, I've referred to it generally before, is about the era of extraordinary change and where there is big change and big scope of work needed. But in essence, starting off at gear one, you start to ramp up. It is a comply. In other words, there's really no business case here at all. It's much more about compliance with laws. It is about philanthropy. You're barely getting started. You just got a little bit of motion. You've got things happening because you got to do it. And gear two in sustainability means the company is actually beginning to see a sustainability agenda as legitimate, begins to focus internally on this, starts to do the things that really reduce cost, that impact reduction, eco-efficiency, talks about metrics. There's an awful lot of things that go on, but you volunteer. You get on the train, you start to move the organization. And gear three is partner, where you actually see that to do sustainability well, you've got to turn outward, and you've got to bring in an external focus, and you can't do it unless you work with others and partners with others on co-evolution of solutions. So you move forward, you got more power. And then you begin to get real power when you get up into gear four. Gear four is what we call integrate, and that's where sustainability becomes built in, not just bolted on. It becomes a core fabric of the business, and the strategy is integrated across the supply chains. It's actually within the company. It's actually an integrated system within the system as that is. And gear five is an important one because it's about redesign. Because once the company really engages in a lot of action, and even perhaps the industry, what you also begin to see is that all of the problems that need to be addressed can't be addressed individually and potentially by industries. We've got to go beyond that. We've got to look at the systems of systems, the change in the financial systems, the kind of things we've been talking about on Zoomed, but you got to get to the source of the problem, a larger view. So the gears are really just a nested set of these activities. They all kind of fit together. They're not discrete. They're kind of a transcendent include. You've actually got to do them together. So the question becomes, what do we find? What's relevant, especially regarding leadership? Well, first on progress, we found that everybody was in gear two or in gear three, and all were focused on gear four, but none had realized it. None had realized sustainability as fully in the fabric or fully strategic. These are some of the biggest and the best. And only a few were focused on gear five and had any awareness of it, and six out of the 10 said that gear five, big systems, redesign and change, was not the purview of business. Folks, that's a long way to go from where we've got to get from here to there when you've got such major players seeing it's not even part of the fabric of where their consideration needs to be. So that's where we started. There is progress being made. There is a big gap. There is a lot of work needed. But what was actually also found was on leadership generally. And while not really a surprise, we asked them, just as in other studies, they really said leadership is central to success. Without it, you're not going to get anywhere. Well, that's not new news to us, not new news to you, but it is reinforced. It is central to this whole gearing up effort to bringing power into this shift to move into an integrated organization and gear five change across the dynamism of systems in our world. However, the interesting view toward totality that came out of this actually came out in some unexpected ways. And while if you really sustain and look at the literature, while most writings in sustainability focus on the technical side, the systems and the process realm involved, what we found was a broad whole view was being pointed to. When looking at the success factors, systems were considered important, a 40% emphasis, but people, culture as a whole, and mindsets and behaviors of individuals were hugely important, a 60% emphasis. More details for sure underneath all this. But in the language we use on Zoomed, interiors and exteriors were equally important. Culture and mindsets important off the table of considerations, and systems, as reflected by this 60-40 kind of a relationship, they're necessary but not sufficient in emphasis by themselves. So furthermore, what came out of the study was identification, what I think is one of the big findings, and it leaks and leaps us forward into our the larger view as well, and it's a key challenge dynamic. And it was just this, that the exterior shifts realized, in other words, moving up the gears in tangible forms in the world, the activities and forms that sustainability takes, they directly reflect the interior capacities, the mindsets of those involved, not only those of the executive ranks, but those in the organization at large. Simply put, what we found was an activity mindset dynamic rests at the center point of this gearing up progress. And so while this finding, I think, clearly came from the data, I would also say that it's under the radar, both in the study companies and the field at large. It really wasn't on their radar. This is what came out of the data, but it's not in their awareness, and it's actually something that warrants a deeper look and deeper understanding. And that's what we did. But I want to stop here for a moment. I want to consider what I've said so far because we're only partial in our progress relative to sustainability. Companies are only partially up there on the gears, and none have realized gear four, and few of our sample are really acknowledging the need for gear five importance. And we're seeing mindsets, meaning our interior capacities, the way we think, the way we make meaning, they're really important. This coming out of some of the biggest companies in the world, biggest resource bases in the world. So without going into all the details, there's an opportunity to connect the dots here and look at the relationship between mindsets, the forms of thinking and the awareness that are behind them, and the focus of realization on big scale change efforts like the gearing up process. So here we bridged into other good work done on leadership and mindsets. We looked at other research. We brought in research from others that actually we've had some conversation about on Zoomed. and perhaps the most important realm of research that distinguishes itself, and I think that it brings up this element associated with mindset, is two forms of development that shape mindsets. These forms are about horizontal development, which is the purview of most academic institutions, and vertical development. And your question is, well, what's the difference and what's the importance? Well, horizontal development refers to the expansion in capacities through increases in knowledge, in skills, and abilities associated with a current mindset. It's supported by an array of the traditional mentions of methods I've mentioned, of course. I won't go into all the details, but vertical development is associated with capacity shift from an individual's current way of meaning-making to broader, more complex mindsets. Vertical development means, and it actually refers to, how an individual learns to see through new eyes, how one changes his or her interpretations of what is experienced, and how that person transforms his or her view of reality. It actually describes the increase in individual awareness, the expansion of what an individual can pay attention to, and therefore what he and or she can actually influence. Take note of that. It describes the increase in individual awareness. That's part of what we were talking about, the journeys of freedom, last week. And of course, vertical development comes through forms and practices that differ from conventional educational methods and includes a lot of those we've talked about on Zoom, or at least we're beginning to explore more fully, from meditation to dialogue to self-reflection in general, all kinds of forms that we'll point more to in the future. Both forms of development are important, but the vertical nature of growth, expansion, the wider view is what really catches, I think, our attention here. Because, again, I won't go into all the details about vertical development, but suffice it to say, leadership tends to grow in vertical mindset stages or altitudes of view that are built upon the capacities of recognition and awareness and a self-identity orientation. Recall that we talked about gearing up. Gearing up, you go from one to another, it's integrated, it moves forward. Consider what we're talking about here. Vertical mindset stages grows in a similar fashion. And I point out that in our report, if you're really interested in it, take a look at it, because we give some examples in there of what some of these stages of mindset development look like, how that cognition and awareness grows, what the level of awareness might be. And we've talked about these before on Zoom. We've had a show with Terry O'Fallon over a year ago where we talked more explicitly about it. But there is a clear progression from mindsets that focus on a less complex, more narrowly focused realm to a more full, more broad reach, more integrated realm. It actually progresses from something that actually goes more like this, from loyalty in the group to expanding into a specialist knowledge and demonstrating that with a craft expertise. It expands and moves beyond that into an achievement-centered, goal-focused kind of success. It moves beyond that into a relativism of positions, beyond that into reinterpreting and reframing, and moves beyond that into integrating multiple forms and new ways of thinking. There is a progression from little or no system recognition to the ability to embrace multiple systems and systems of systems. There is a progression that I'll talk more about in a minute that brings together the dynamics of the gears and the needs of the gears, the complexities of the gears, the capacities that are called for, and how it's reflected in these later stage mindsets. I'll get to that when we come back. A few moments, take a break, hear the music in our ears. Come back on Zoom today. It's about the totality of leadership. Join us again. Come back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Zoomed Leadership is sponsored in part by Cosmos Journal, the journal for world citizens creating the new civilization. More than just a publication, Cosmos is committed to informing, inspiring, and engaging the world in the transition to an emerging, sustainable, just, and compassionate global culture and civilization that works for all. For over 10 years, Cosmos has been a leading voice that tracks the deep systemic transformations already occurring at the margins of society as our institutions prove unable to serve the needs of the times. Published twice a year in print and digital, Cosmos includes leading-edge articles from social change leaders on the global commons, people power, global governance, new economics, collective intelligence, and cultivating the self. The impact of these paradigm-changing ideas is enhanced through stunning visuals and photographic stories that motivate to action. Start exploring Cosmos Journal and continue opening your perspectives about leadership and the emerging great transition at cosmosjournal.org. Join the Cosmos Leaders of Change and make a difference today.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on Zoomed on this Monday, Totality of Leadership. We are looking at research, and I'm trying to bring some big news here and been providing some perspective about the range of views as a backdrop, the mindsets, the way they develop, the more narrow to more broad and open viewpoints. And I guess the question is, what's the big news? Well, there is a relationship between leader mindset capacities, how wide a view can be held, and the gears of sustainability. Specifically, what we're beginning to show is that to reach the later stage gears 4.0 and 5.0, you need later stage mindset capacities, especially those that parallel the complexities and the views demanded in the high gears themselves. Said another way, you need later stage mindsets, more fully evolved vertical capacities to achieve Gears 4.0 and 5.0 to get the highest ambitions of sustainability. The problem, in general, we have few of these later stage leaders available. Few, less than 5% of the studies that show, have the forms of vertical development needed or required by Gear 5.0. 4.0 and 5.0 together really draw upon and demand these later stage systems and systems of systems perspectives, new paradigms, breakthrough kinds of orientation. And to get to the highest gears, they'll need to, and leader and educational development efforts will have to be reshaped to get there. So we've got a number 1-2 here. We've got a big need, and this way that we source and provide the fuel for the kinds of development, it's missing the vertical dimension. It's missing the nature of the true growth and expansion in mindsets. Well, compelling findings. I think they're clear pointers to the need for an expanded view and greater attention to altitude in realization. That's part one. Second study. The work of the Global Transforming Ensemble has been combined with the Institute for Strategic Clarity, two organizations that we've been looking at in terms of the relationship between leadership, in particular presence-centered leadership, and harmonic vibrancy in communities. Harmonic vibrancy is a degree to which there's resonance and a sense of abundance and a sense of wellness that's experienced in persons and people in their and in their relationships in the community. It's, as I've been saying here, the connection between the I, the we, the all of us, and adding nature and spirit into the mix. It is the composite of those in that relationship and how leadership funnels into it all. The early results are in, and what is being revealed is a clear and strong correlation between high vibrancy communities and presence-centered leadership. Presence-centered leadership is more of what we're talking about relative to the journeys of freedom. Communities with high vibrancy, where the individual can be successful, where they're economically and personally alive and thriving, in concert with positive agreements and relationships with other, the community as a whole is in harmony and in harmony with nature and spirit, and they reflect a strong sense of wellness, and leadership is obviously a vehicle for that, and it includes a whole view, a source point for the harmonic is individual and collective leadership. More to come here. And if you actually want to participate in the survey, go to globaltransformingensemble.com. More to really actually be brought to the table. But these two studies point clearly in my mind to two important recognitions. First, that the nature of our world and the action needed in it calls for greater and deeper embrace, wider and deeper embrace of the many facets of reality. That this really includes our interior life, as we've been exploring here on Zoomed, our development of mindsets, of freedom, of realization of the truth of who we are. Narrow views and partial perspectives are simply not as useful as widely held panoramas and a multitude of perspectives. And second, in a world that we experience as a more and more interconnected one, we definitely might benefit greatly from the awareness that we are not really separate. Separateness and boundedness are really only in our minds. So to recognize the true potential we have, and to express the real potential for leadership that rests within us, I suggest that we consider an all-embracing stance, that of what I'm calling the totality of leadership. In other words, I suggest we recognize our beingness, we recognize the nature of practice, and we recognize the potential that is great through a view of totality. So that's where we go. But before we do, and as I get into this part two that I'm bridging into now, totality. Well, that's a big word. It's a big notion. It may even sound grandiose for our consideration. Grandiose because amidst all the thousands of books on leadership, all the theories that pervade our field each year, many with the latest study data, just as I have revealed myself to you, there's always a trend to the new and improved and to the more. But in my conversation today, it's not about more in this way. It is not really about a bigger model or map, although they can be useful, as we've described with integral theory, but it is about the ground of life, the ground of freedom that rests as the essence of the dynamic animating energy of leadership itself. It is this realm that I want to point to. It is this realm of unity that serves as the real ground of our lives and our work in the world. So as I mentioned, for part two, that I want to point to and I want to describe three facets of our lives, three facets of our leadership lives, actually. I want to talk about being and total being. I want to talk about practice and total practice and a view of totality, all of which come together in what I'm describing as the totality of leadership. So while this is in some ways, especially for me, difficult to put into words, I'm going to try to give it a go. I'm going to see if I can paint, at least in a minimal way, in a minimal basis, a picture of the immense realm of possibility and potential that the ground of our leadership offers us all in this coming era of extraordinary change. So where to start? Well, let me begin with the ground. Let me start with being. I mean, what is being? And what do I mean by total being? I've been using that word. I've been using the word presence as well as a lot. But what is the relationship to being? Well, being is not a something, but it is truly what we are. Being is the nature, the essence, the substance of everything. Being is an infinite and all-pervading presence, an all-pervading field of consciousness, if you will, that possesses or is reflected as a pattern. A pattern that is everything that we see and perceive. All the objects in the world, and all persons, all living things, all the things that take the shape of reality that we have come to know. Being is an all-pervading consciousness. It's an animating field that infuses everything, giving us all form, giving life. And the reason we as humans have the capacity to experience being is that each of us, ourselves, as an actual ontological arising, is a presencing of being, not simply a construct, not simply a concept. And this presence has the capacity to be self-aware. So for us as selves to become directly aware of this realm is for each of us to experience our own deepest, truest nature. So let me say this again. Being actually is the nature, it's the essence, it's the substance of everything we know and are. All physical objects, all mental objects, all the manifestations of our lives that are experienceable, all experienceable manifestations. And being in our body, being our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, the sounds, the sights, all of the meanings that we place on them, this is being. Being actually is an alive and dynamic. And this is interesting. It's at the same time, ultimately still. So in being, we know that we are alive, that we simply are, but there isn't necessarily any movement. There is complete stillness, stillness through and through. So even though the body might be in full movement, blood circulating, movement in and around the cells, our atoms all vibrating, being is deeper than all of that. It's fresh. It's always now. It's the nowness itself. It is the unity, the totality. It is all implicitly complete and perfect. So being is what we are. Being is everything. And as we come to perceive this on the journey of realization, on the journeys of freedom, we come to perceive, actually, the unity of all manifestation. Being as an indivisible medium, a oneness, one existence, as opposed to two or to many. So let's pick up on that when I come back. There's more I really want to build on this about being, about practice, about the totality, about the larger view. But I hear the music in my ears. Let's take a minute. Come right back. Last segment, Zoomed. The totality in conclusion. Thanks.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. The experts are here. Voice America Business Network.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Think of the world.
50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be
50 years from now.
Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on Zoomed, last segment, Totality of Leadership. I think it's important to point to the ground where we're starting, the ground of what we are, more than a composite of cells and chemicals interacting in our brain to bring thoughts and distinctions, more than an outside scientific reflection of matter, more than the exteriors that we talk about all the time on Zoomed. We are a dynamic, patterned field of consciousness, a beingness, a still emptiness out of which all form flows, an actual limitless presence that holds everything. And that is where I point to total being. Because I'm beginning with talk about the totality of leadership, I think we have to talk about first the total being. Because we are all a nowness that holds everything, all times, and everything outside of all times, where nothing is excluded, a non-exclusivity of what we actually are. And total being is a living being, a continuously fresh and dynamic outflow of this manifestation that is the source of the infinite potential that we're talking about in the three journeys. And on the journeys of freedom, it is the ground of our liberation. So as I begin to point to this assemblage of the totality of leadership, we must begin then with being as the ground. And a second point of this assemblage is to recognize the nature of practice. And all of us know some form of practice. In sports, in arts, music, all of it, we all practice in some ways to allow the flow of our capacities to develop and to allow an unbounded energy to coalesce into some kind of a riveting ultimate performance. That's what we really do. That's what we practice. And practice is central to the journeys of freedom, and it's central to the realization of our leadership, central to the liberation of living being into forms of our true possibility. The practice here takes on a particular dynamic, a particular pivot point or fulcrum of interaction, because what I want to point to is the true nature of practice. Practice is realization, and realization is practice. We might understand this as the dynamic intersection of, as I mentioned before, doing. It's that pushing ourselves into practice, like meditation, like inquiry, like dialogue and dialectic, and grace. The pull that comes out of being with recognition, the breakthroughs, the realizations without doing anything, a spontaneous arising that comes without cause. We might consider that in some ways and forms, and actually in wisdom traditions, that there's a continuum, and on one end of it, grace happens or is bestowed simply by leading a good life and certain ideals. You don't really have to put much into practice. You live the ideals, and you will be graced ultimately. On the other end of the continuum, in one's practice as the source of realization, one is in charge of one's own realization. Two ends of the continuum, I'm suggesting in terms of practice, I'd like to offer a middle way, and that attention to practice is the central focus of our leadership, out of which I think actually arises, without doing anything or having to be anything, the grace of a continuing flow of unfolding, limitless sense of realizations, all of which contribute to our vertical growth. In other words, our work is about the journeys. where more and more pure and free-flowing manifestations of the focus of our leadership arise, and this freedom is gained through practice and through the pivot point of leadership and realization. A pivot point where living being is practicing, revealing itself, expressing itself. Said another way, the real work of leadership, beyond the content, knowledge, the horizontal growth that can be supportive, is the practice. And the practice is embodying presence and ascertaining the truth of who and what we are, the truth of the flow of our potential, the livingness of being clearly represented in our lives without obstruction, without obscuration. It is our true work of leadership in a realization of being, realization of presence, the liberation of our soul to live as the hand of life itself. Now, there are distinct practices that we can talk about. I'm not necessarily going to go into these now. There are many, many more. But total practice, living one's life fully in continuous, contactful engagement with the truth of presence and what is arising, is the core thread of our leadership lives as we live into the era of extraordinary change, the core thread of our deepest realizations, the core thread of our joy, our love, our complete expression in the world, the living hand expressed. So total being and total practice yield to a view that I also offer is central to our pathway into this era of extraordinary change, and that is the view of totality. And by a view of totality, I'm suggesting that all is held. All views are valid. All experiences reflect being, both enlightened and not, like Gaddafi. All are part of the unfolding nature of reality. All is living, being, expressing itself in more and in less complete and whole ways, and in more true and more distorted ways. From the view of totality, there is no destination. It is not about recognizing or attaining a particular state or condition, not like achieving some kind of a non-dual oneness. Rather, it is about the limitless possibility of ever-unfolding truths, ever-unfolding experiences of the true nature of who we are, of the great mysteries of being. A view of totality, folks, frees us. It allows us to not seek, to not pursue, rather to simply be where we are, and to live the dynamism, live the qualities, live the dimensions and the underlying capacities that open the whole universe of mystery, the whole universe of love and joy and unarmed truth. And so we return to Martin Luther King and to unconditional love, to truth, and to wholeness. The totality of being as our ground, the totality of practice as our moment-to-moment dynamic, the view of totality as our expanding field of perspective, and we begin to, at least on a preliminary way, to see what I'm pointing to regarding the totality of leadership. It is not what is being explored in our B-School. It is not what being discussed in traditional academic orientations and institutions, but it is the orientation of some leading programs, and clearly to me, the coming wave of leadership for the future. I can recall a conversation some years ago with a member of my team who's now moved on, who, when talking about leadership, said executives don't want personal development, they want performance development. And I think that captures the old paradigm, the world that has been living, and the past era of scientific materialism that our inner realm has little bearing. I think you can see today it is the realm for the future. The totality of leadership, while not on the tip of the tongue, is where our true human and leadership potential resides. Reflect on it, folks. And as always, don't believe a word I say. Find out for yourself. Find out what mysteries and magnificent await the inner journey of this totality of leadership. In closing, I want to take us back to Libya and Gaddafi, and best energies sent to the protesters on the pathway to freedom, and suggest also that their path to freedom is all our paths to freedom. We are not separate, and we are all living the possibility of a living totality, a totality of our leadership. Have a great week, folks. Enjoy. More guests coming. It's a pleasure. I got a lot of passion for this. The totality of leadership is where we need to rest. I think you might continue to appreciate what's coming. and more in many, many, many directions, out to the big picture, into the up close and personal. And today we leave with the up close and personal intersected with the totality. All combined, all one. It is one wholeness. Have a great week, folks. Enjoy. Send great vibes to the Middle East and to the spring. And we'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to Zoomed Leadership with host John Schmidt. Please be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. And have a terrific week.